I'm ready.
You the one that's supposed to start. Yes. You toasted up that so much you read.
Yes, I am.
Look, how high are you? Yes.
How high? Yes. Give me what you got for a poke chop, strangers. I'm Brit.
That doesn't even.
What?
I don't know what to do with that.
Give me what you got for a poke chop. Not a pork chop,
you
but
didn't
a
have
poke
to say it again.
Chop.
I heard strangers, you the first time.
Maybe the people didn't hear me. I said, give me what you got for a poke chop. I wish I knew the rest, but I can't. Something to back it up again. Or something like that.
I don't even remember the rest. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
And I'm D.
And you're welcome for another episode of...
I don't know if I'll be able to make it through. Okay.
It's a strange world after all. The podcast where we discuss true crime cases, the supernatural, urban legends, conspiracy theories, and all of the things that keep the world strange. Wait, first of all, I just want to start by saying this is the greatest work of art, I think, in the history of America. I think it is top tier artistry. It is right up there with Shakespeare, the Titanic. D has on a Killer Clowns from Outer Space t-shirt. And I just want to say it's the greatest movie, one of the greatest movies of all time.
I did not know where you were going with that.
Where but you now get your that shirt I know
from? Facts. Where did I get this from? It was when we were in San Antonio. I think it was Spencer's. Yeah, it was Spencer's.
I was watching something and it was like, they were in high school and somebody was like, oh, she said something about going to Hot Topic. And they were like, what is a Hot Topic? I don't know. I said, what?
Wait, because they had this at Hot Topic, but that's where I went first and they were sold out. And she was like, oh, they have them at Spencer's. And I went in there and I cleaned up.
What is a Spencer's? Some old people's store. Damn.
Only thing they didn't have that I saw on the website was Supernatural. So if anybody wants to send me some Supernatural merch,
go
feel
for
free.
It.
Preferably Castiel or Dean related.
I'm still just waiting on my Fleet Mac Wood Rumors album.
Fleetwood Mac?
Yes. What did I say wrong? Fleetwood Mac. Did I say
you
Mac
said
Fleetwood?
Mac Fleetwood. Wait, I thought you had it already.
Nah.
Oh.
Sorry.
I could have sworn you had it already.
No, I do not.
It is Black History Month, and all month long, we will continue sharing stories centered around Black lives. In today's episode, we discuss the haunting of 13-year-old Ernie Rivers.
Ernie Rivers grew up in Montclair, New Jersey, or Doisy, as the locals call it, with his mother and father, Ann Clark and Ernest Rivers Sr. Ernie Sr. was a fighter in the Golden Gloves in 1948 and 1949 while working as a construction worker. The Golden Gloves was an amateur boxing circuit with heavy mob ties. A lot of ties.
Oh, God.
Anne was frequently sick, and because they didn't have insurance, they couldn't afford doctor visits.
When she could see a doctor, they were unable to determine what was wrong with her. Less than 2 weeks before Christmas in 1956, Anne got sick again and told Ernest Sr. she needed to go to the doctor. They started arguing because he didn't want to spend the money he was going to use for Ernie's Christmas gifts. So, Christmas presents, hospital.
My life. I mean, yeah, my life. This is my life. This is my life.
Yeah.
Ernest, Ernie.
Yeah. The argument ended with him telling Anne, "You're nothing but a doctor's bill to me."
Sheesh.
Yeah. Sir,
I'm chill sorry. Out. Sheesh. Yes, chill out. That's how you do it, right? That's how the kids do it. Chill out. Man, and wait, going back to Christmas, I think if you asked a kid, unless the kid is just like, don't care, I think the kid would be like, it's fine. Like, take care of my mom, please.
Yeah.
I would rather have my mama
or you want your Christmas.
Yeah, you want your Christmas. You want your Xbox or you want your. You got to pick.
That's not funny. That's.
Man.
Yeah, he just wanted to argue.
Basically, as we go through this, he just strikes me as someone who was mentally abusive.
Oh, yeah.
That night, Anne had a dream that Ernest Sr. was attempting to kill her with a gun. She woke up and got Ernest's gun from under the bed and went back to sleep for about an hour. She woke up at 5 a.m. and stared at her husband for a moment. She then asked him, "Where they from, Jersey?"
Yeah, don't do it.
Ernest, how do you even talk? New Jersey. Ernest, you tired of me? Is that how? You tired of me? Let's talk about it. Forget about it. As she said, she then asked, "Ernest, are you tired of me?" When he didn't answer, oh my God, hold on, because this is not funny. And I just have to recollect.
Oh man, you're getting like me now.
I know. But I mean, like, what were you doing, Ernest? You wasn't answering.
He was
how
sweet.
You did you... Oh yeah. I thought he was just sitting there.
This is not funny. No, it's this
not
was
funny.
Like, this was 5 o'clock in the morning. They was
I mean, I just okay. Cause I'm like, you see her with the gun, but you didn't see her. So I'm sorry. So okay. So he didn't answer. Let me do the whole thing. When he didn't answer, Anne shot him twice in the chest. She was sentenced to 18 to 22 years at the Clinton Reformatory for Women. Shortly after, Ernie was sent to live with his maternal grandparents. They could have argued, is it battered wife syndrome? What is it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
possibly.
I think that's what it is.
I don't know.
I guess because it wasn't self-defense because he was asleep.
Well, yeah. But I thought you could still use, because that's the whole point. The whole point is sometimes
because over
they
time,
act
like
when they're,
just,
when
yeah.
the man, yeah. And this is all alleged. Yeah, this is all alleged because we don't have like proof to say that he was physically abusive, let alone mentally abusive outside of the Christmas thing.
Yeah. And then this all started with her dream. She had a dream or a vision. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because they was both
I thought
sleep.
About that, too.
She woke up out of her sleep and was like, I got to mirror him. But then, hold on, she got the gun. Then she went back to sleep. And then she woke up again. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Anyway. I mean, not anyway, but, you know.
I give it to you.
I don't think. Yeah.
Moving along. I give it to you.
Yeah.
I digress. I say that to say.
On May 6, 1961, the evening of his 13th birthday, Ernie was playing in his room in an apartment in the Felix Fold.
Say that three
housing.
Times.
No. Housing development in Newark, New Jersey. His grandmother, Mabel Clark, was cleaning her room when a glass jar on the other side of the room crashed to the floor. She was scared for a moment, but brushed it off. Ernie heard the crash from his room, but didn't think anything of it.
I mean, yeah, anything could have happened. Yeah. She was in the act of cleaning. Could have got wet and slid off, you know?
No, this was in the, like, in a whole nother room. Oh, it was on the other side of the room.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's, okay. So I stand behind what I said. The glass could have been, or if it was a cold glass of water, it could have had condensation. That's true.
Yeah.
You ain't never had a glass of something slide when it has condensation on it?
No, but I mean.
I have.
I feel like it's possible.
I have. I've seen it. Mythbusters. I'm busting myths all over the place. It could have been.
But that's only, though, if you pick it up and put it back down.
She could have been drinking it and had put it down and went across the room to, you know.
I'm talking about as soon as you put it down. It's not going to wait and then slide.
Mine was a slow slide. So let's say it was a slow slide. So let's just say you put it in the middle of, like, look at my hand. And this is, say this is like an armoire, not an armoire, like a dresser. And then I put it in the middle, ploop. And then it slowly slides. So by the time I get across the room, you know, it might take at least a minute for it to actually completely slide.
Okay, we'll go with that.
It's plausible.
Yeah.
Or a La Cucaracha came by. Was this the project? A little cuckoo.
Oh my God.
Okay. 2 days later, they were eating. Oh, I was about to say chicken. I don't know why I was about to say chicken.
It is Black History Month.
I know. Like that school that had, what they had, watermelon and what else? Fried chicken. No, what was it that they had on the menu? It was watermelon for sure. And fried chicken, that school that had like.
Yes. Yes. But I was just thinking about that because I don't know about fried chicken, but watermelon was something that white people used. Because like you remember slaves, well, not slaves. They were free, but they used to grow and sell watermelon and they were making a living off of it. So white people took it and made it negative. And that's right. Why we have the stereotype. So I'm like, I don't know about chicken, but that, because I still
why, because you're going to fuck up some chicken, huh?
I mean, I...
Or is it because? Both of them. It was a house full of us, and we were sitting around, we was like, waking shoes, like, I don't know if it's offensive. I was like, I mean... I don't know. I said, I don't eat watermelon, but if the chicken good, I. But everybody loves chicken. I would have went to cafeteria. I've been like, y'all know they had ordered Popeyes. They had got us some KFC. This is a thought that counts, like, me personally.
Yeah.
Where are we?
I don't even, you, it's you.
My bad. It's me. Hi. She had already shot him. Okay, he did.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, because I thought it was said eating chicken. Okay.
Yes.
2 days later, they were eating in the kitchen when six, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 punch bowl cups in the living room came off the hooks on the wall and fell to the floor one by one. They just failed. Punch bowl cups. That's not a small cup. Oh, wait. No, I take it back. Punch bowl cups. Those are little small cups.
Yeah.
Or the big. Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah. And you got to think this was back in the 60s. So, yeah. Because it was something in here. I was like, what is that? I had to ask Dawn what it was.
Was it Shifaro?
Not calling her old, but.
Ooh, I just realized. You
know, I think it was a canter. And I was like, I feel like everybody knows what that is, except for me. Because when she said it, I was like, oh. It's just like a glass pitcher.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know what it was.
Because she was like, I got one in the refrigerator. So I bet you do.
Which, I mean, I guess aesthetically it's nice. Because I'm like, just drink it out the bottle. Why you got to take the time to take the top off, then pour it all out into the glass, and you got to put it in the fridge. But yeah, it's fancy.
Aesthetics. Yeah.
Okay, so they shattered one by one. wait a minute. So I just thought about it. So they were just sitting there, and it was like glass, boom, a glass, boom, another glass, boom. So we sitting there, and then another glass, boom. Jesus.
Yep.
I don't know if I would have sat there to watch all six.
They was probably in shock. They was shook.
True.
They didn't know what to do.
Okay, so later that evening, several bottles in the bathroom fell and shattered. And you know she probably had all the perfumes because she old. Diamond perfume. What's the other one? What's the other old lady's perfume?
So you now, I ain't saying nothing about old people.
Yeah, all the perfumes.
It's all on you.
I'm just saying, they be having a lot of bottles of perfumes.
Okay.
They like to smell good. One of the bottles that was in the medicine cabinet flew into the living room and landed on the floor. So it flew all the way from the bathroom medicine cabinet into the living room.
Yeah.
Mabel walked to the bathroom only to find that the door was closed. The bathroom door or the medicine cabinet door?
Oh, the bathroom door was closed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot of activity.
I know, for one day.
Oh, yeah, this sure was just
the punch day. Bowls. I mean, the glasses were enough.
Yeah.
I was left. So this is still the same day, because that same evening, a neighbor, Yetta Mandel, I think, came to visit. Mabel, Yetta, and Ernie were talking when suddenly a cologne bottle from the bathroom flew into the living room. The bottle zigzagged in mid-air and then shattered on the floor.
The ghost was like this. Can you see me? Do you see me? Was fucking popping, locking. Like.
Wait. Wait,
what?
Yetta described it as turning a jig in the air.
I forgot about
it
that.
Stopped in mid-air and started doing a Dougie.
I was just about to say it was doing a South Dallas swag. Like, that's stupid.
Oh, man. Okay. Oh, it's decanter, not canter. Okay. Yetta also said she watched as a glass decanter started moving by itself to the edge of the refrigerator. So their whole day, they was just going through it. I'm not, why would you have company and all this is happening?
It was probably already planned.
And they are old, except for Ernie. I'm not going to say anything about old people. Say how you feel.
Do you love what you feel? Come on.
I mean, like, what if this woman would have had a heart attack? That is scary. If this is happening, I would have been mad. Like, why would you invite me over here?
And first of all, she probably, Yetta probably came over unannounced, and Mabel, Mabel? That's it, right? Yeah, Mabel was probably like, look at this motherfucker. Every time she come over here unannounced, and she was like, I'm inviting him anyway. Come on, I'm going to see if she see what we see. And she saw it.
Oh, man.
That's probably what happened.
Probably.
I don't know. It's a lot, though.
It is.
That ghost is just trying to have a good time, though. It's what it feel like. It looked like he was probably looking for some he or she, because, you know, we want to be inclusive. He or she was probably looking for some hooch. That's probably why I kept picking up. Could think about it. Everything it touched was glass, so it was probably like, just trying to have a good time.
True.
So this. So after the jigging in the air and the decanter moved by itself, this is when Mabel decided to tell Yetta about what had been happening. So she was like, oh, by the way, now that we is both sitting here, now that we've both experienced this, I forgot to say. And as she's telling her story, a lamp in the living room shattered. Mabel and Ernie stayed somewhere else for the night, as they should.
As they should.
In the days following Ernie's 13th birthday, he and Maybelle counted close to 20 incidents involving plates, mugs, light bulbs, mirrors, and other objects falling or flying around the apartment.
At times, they had to stay with her daughter and son-in-law, Ruth and William Hargwood. Soon, the other residents and the public started to hear about what was going on in Mabel's apartment. This led to the story being picked up by the press. Reporters dubbed the events at the housing development the Project Poltergeist.
Is that racist? Is it because they live in a project?
I mean, it's because they live in a project, but they could have just said poltergeist. Or like, no, because other white families, they have their last name. The live we did, the movie Poltergeist, the family that it was based on, it was called the Herman Poltergeist or the Herman Family Haunting. Why is this not the Rivers Poltergeist or the Rivers Family Haunting? Why is it Project Poltergeist?
That's a great question. This whole time, though, I was thinking like a show, like Project Poltergeist. Not like.
No, it's because they was in the projects.
That's unfortunate.
It was in the PJs.
I don't know. Maybe they was like, we ain't never seen this before. Like, no, like they were just like, you know, what kind of spirit, if you had a choice, would choose, you know? Why would you choose?
Why would you go to the projects is what you're saying? It is Black history.
You could have really gone anywhere. No, don't associate, but don't associate like projects like just with, I'm not, we're disassociating. I'm saying not all Black people live in the project. So I'm taking that aspect out of it. I'm okay. Saying that they are probably so shooketh. The whites, what you call them, the from the mountains of Caucasus, is that what you said?
Yeah.
That they were, yeah, like, why, if you have, you can go anywhere.
Your spirit, why would you go to the project? You still saying the same thing.
People, I don't think anybody that lives there would be like, yeah, this is my first choice. It's not my first choice.
Yeah, but it's just the way you're saying it.
It's wrong. It was wrong then. It's wrong now. It should have been the Rivers Poltergeist. That's the clip we're going to keep. It's wrong, I tell you. No justice, no peace. It is widely believed that poltergeists usually feed on the psychic energy of adolescents. Journalists connected the activity to Ernie. Ernie was having a hard time because of what he went through with his parents. Around this time, his mother, Anne, had escaped from prison and was on the run. I was going to say something about Anne, but I'm not going to say.
What?
I was going to say, I ain't going to say.
What was you going to say? Good for her?
I was going to say she a thug. She about that life. That's what I was going to say. Okay. Ernie would never acknowledge his feelings and seemed withdrawn. I have two things. Hopefully I don't lose my train of thought. But is that the idea of poltergeist feeding on psychic energy of adolescence? I had never heard that before. But is that like in poltergeist, like why that little girl gets slopped up? Slooped up? Is she an adolescent? No, she's not an adolescent. She was not an adolescent.
No, she was a kid.
Tomato, tomato.
But they did have a teenage daughter, though, in the movie. But it was focused on a little girl, though. But
it was.
Yeah. But
I would think anybody under 18, because, you know, like you're sensitive to energy when you're a kid or like baby. You know what I mean?
It's mainly because, you know, teenagers are normally like hormonal.
They feel their feels.
And yeah. So it attaches to like negativity and stuff like that.
Yes.
Like strongly to negativity.
Yeah. That was my note. I was saying that I believe the theory because Ernie is the reason for the supernatural activity. Because we had talked about it before in another episode too, outside of this one. But like Dee said, dark spirits thrive on negative energy. So like arguing, depression, mm-hmm. you got a lot of stuff going on, they're going to feed into that. Like even think about like, don't want to get biblical, like the devil, like he does not want you to have like positive thoughts. He feeds you negative thoughts, even like about yourself. He feeds you lies. So
yeah,
interesting.
Skeptics thought the whole thing was a hoax and Ernie was behind it. Ernie insisted that he had no clue what was going on. The housing development opened an investigation. The Newark Housing Authority, or NHA, acknowledged that a strange, unexplainable phenomena hung over the apartment. One of the housing officials referred them to Edward Del Russo, a self-proclaimed exorcist, but he was of no help.
How you gonna be a self-proclaimed exorcist?
I was just about to say.
Probably why you wasn't no damn help. Well, I need how to mic the right way. Yeah, how you gonna be self-proclaimed?
He was just out here doing exorcisms just because.
Charging $5. Yeah, I can do it. I cleanse it. Like, what?
Okay. That's messed up. Mabel was starting to think that the spirit of Ernest Sr. might be responsible for the activity and was trying to get Ernie away from her.
Ooh.
That could, yeah.
Very That's well, a good theory. Yeah. That's a great theory. Because, yeah, he probably was a drunk, going back to my drunk theory, allegedly, number one. So it's probably why he was picking up glasses left and right. And then, most likely, because I say he was looking for hooch.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah, the way he died, he's most likely, from my knowledge, my supernatural knowledge, he is what we would call a vengeful spirit.
A what?
A vengeful spirit.
Okay. Makes sense.
Thanks. You know. Yeah. The Herman family of Long Island reached out to Maybell.
I said it before, though. We covered the Herman family in an Instagram live we did. I believe you could still go back and watch it. So please do. And their story was the inspiration for the movie Poltergeist. So there you go. And it was just called Poltergeist. But when you look it up, it was just called Poltergeist, the movie.
Oh, okay.
Again, when you Google them, it's going to say Herman family poltergeist or Herman family haunting.
Mm.
So,
mm-mm. I mean, I get what you're saying. It's kind of messed up.
We already know they was in a project. I mean, that was the obvious.
And then were they the ones that named that or did we name it? Because we probably
the reporter who wrote the story.
Oh, gotcha.
Named it that. A Caucasian woman.
There was a poltergeist in the projects. So, yeah, project. Project poltergeist. when I can do it. When Maybell first heard the glass fall, she thought it was a cucaracha. But
oh my God.
At the end of the NHA's investigation, a decision was made to remove Ernie from Mabel's custody and place him in a group home. In September 1961, Dr. William G. Roll, the director of the Psychical Research Foundation at Duke University, became interested in the case. So we're bringing in psychics.
First case we did with Black people with the ghosts, well, no, demons.
Hammonds.
Yes, Ammons.
Ammons, not Hammonds. I was thinking Herman. I meant merge Herman. The Ammons.
Why are they getting their kids taken away? All the other cases with the Caucasians, this doesn't happen. Just putting it out there.
Yeah, I was going to say that again because I was going to say, go back and listen to it because we went on a whole spiel. It was a whole spiel about, what's her name? Angela Yates. Is that her name? Did I make that up?
Oh, the woman
hate names. Names are hard.
Was it Texas? Yeah.
To remember. It was the lady that drowned her kids.
Andrea Yates, yeah.
Andrea Yates.
Yeah.
And how there were plenty of signs. Even the doctor mm-hmm. was like, stop having kids, number one. Like, you just had plenty of times where she was talking crazy. She should have had her kids taken. She should have had her kids taken. And look at what happened. But then you're taking people of color, their children away. And it's like, there's no signs of abuse coming from like their parents, his grandma. Sorry, well, in his case, his grandma. There's no signs of physical abuse.
Yeah.
Like, I'm confused. And the first thing you should have been like, okay, instead of putting him in a home, let me see. The first thing you should have done is to check to see if he had family. Like, if you feel like, oh, okay, maybe she's senile, maybe it's not like a place for him to be. That's fair. But yeah, try for family first. Don't like put him in like a group home, because that has negative effects too on his psyche overall. Like,
yeah, true.
It's bad enough you living in the projects. It's bad enough you got to deal with racism. Then you get snatched up from your family. Like, what?
Yep. A month after being placed in a group home, Ernie was reunited with his grandmother in North Carolina so Dr. Roll could conduct his own investigation. This could be the last chance to have an authority figure advocate returning him to his grandmother. The team examining Ernie concluded that the poltergeist activity was connected to family turmoil as well as psychological distress and trauma. Unfortunately, the decision was made to separate Ernie and Mabel for good. So she didn't even get him back. At least LaToya Ammons, she got her kids back, but Mabel, he's gone. Yeah. For what?
Yeah, for what? What were they basing this off of? Like, do we know, like, what they were like, were they just telling their experiences? Because he's not, he's young, but he's not a child. He is a teenager. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's not a young child, so he's old enough to where he's not impressionable.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't see him to believe in, like, monsters and stuff like that. So if they're both saying that they saw something, then maybe they saw something. Like, I'm just trying to figure out what were the grounds of them saying, oh, okay, this is unfit for him.
And Yetta saw it too. Yetta.
Yeah, she sure did. But she old too, though. That was not shit. I was not.
Y'all,
I'm saying
it's not me. Probably, it's not me this time.
I'm saying what they were probably thinking. What they are probably thinking is they. I mean, if she says something, she's older too. She could also be senile. That's what these. Okay. This is them. That's not me this day. This is them saying it.
Okay. Yeah, there were no signs of abuse, nothing. Only thing was he was probably a little depressed, but that's to be expected.
He was grieving.
Yeah.
Basically lost his dad and his mom.
Mm-hmm. And also, I just want to put out there, it was so like this, if you actually read the article, the Project Poltergeist article, they did so many like experiments on him. I just didn't put it in there because it was so much. But the guy from Duke called in other people and they were like running tests on him and like just a whole lot of, I don't even know what to call it, like paranormal stuff. He went through it basically. And that he was basically like their own like experiment, in my opinion. Because of all the tests and stuff they were doing, just give them back. It's nothing like, I don't understand. Like, why are y'all running all these experiments on him? Yeah.
I'm going to have to read some more.
Probably because they're black, but I don't know if they're still going through with it, but they are supposed to be making this into a movie. Blumhouse, the production company that does like pretty much all of the horror movies, they've been working on doing a movie called Project Poltergeist. So, yeah, I don't know when it's supposed to be coming out because I heard about it a while back and I haven't heard anything since. Because I saw because there's hardly any pictures of him, but I saw the one picture. So I think he's part of it. So they're consulting with him. So that's hopefully he's getting paid for it, which I'm pretty sure he is.
Oh, they're consulting with Ernie,
yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So last I heard about it was 2020, I think, around that time. So it could have had something to do with COVID. Why it's not, I don't know. I don't know how far along they are, if they're even still doing it, but hopefully they are. And hopefully, I mean, I don't know if the name is controversial. I just didn't understand why they had to put, you know, Project Poltergeist. Unless they're counting on people thinking of what you thought, Let's call it The Haunting of Ernie Rivers or something.
Like you said, Rivers Poltergeist.
Yeah.
After a stint in a foster home and a farm for foster children, Ernie was placed into the custody of his Aunt Ruth and Uncle William.
Good.
Not unless they had to find them. I feel like that should have been the first option.
The thing is, when they were like at the height of the activity, they were staying with them. So I don't understand why. Because, I mean, it's not like they moved. I think they were pretty much in the same house. Oh, you know what? I left it out. So, I mean, they did take him from her, but they tried to work it out where he did stay with him before they took him. But I think it was like, they were saying it was like a financial burden or something. And they couldn't really take him in. They wanted to, but they really couldn't. So I guess they got everything together and they finally was able to get him to take him in.
There was still poltergeist activity, but it was nowhere near as violent as before. In 1965, Ernie's mother, Anne, who was back in prison, was paroled after serving 8 years. How'd she get paroled? And she escaped.
That's like, you a know good what I mean? Question.
She got paroled after 8 years.
Like, normally, yeah, you have to show like you're remorseful and this, this. But she literally broke out of prison.
She did. Shortly after her release, Anne was murdered by a pair of alleged mobsters. It was possibly an act of vengeance for the murder of their prized boxer, being her husband, Ernie Sr.
Mm-hmm. He was making them a lot of money, and she killed him because he wouldn't answer her when he was asleep.
Oh my God, so, I just...
I'm still like stuck on that because it was like when he didn't answer her, he was asleep. The poltergeist activity stopped by the time Ernie turned 18 and joined the Marine Corps. Ernie remained in New Jersey through adulthood. He married and the couple had children. I don't know how many. Ernie's wife claimed she experienced some paranormal activity in their home. She claimed she woke up in the middle of the night to see a man sitting on the windowsill. Okay, that's a little creepy.
It's a little.
Yeah. When she woke Ernie up, he responded calmly, telling her not to worry about it. Sir, it is a ghost.
He was like, I was like, so at this point, he just accepted that this is his life now. He literally woke up and was like, oh, nah, you good. That's just the Project Poltergeist. You good. He's been with me since I was 13. Let's see, it's good. We get
it. Oh, man.
We built a rapport. Oh, okay.
Oh, well, he was probably sitting on a windowsill smoking a cigarette.
Fucking.
Oh, man, the ghost was just chilling. He probably had his legs crossed.
He been chilling. All I wanted this whole time is some attention.
He just wanted to be seen.
Some love and attention. Crazy. So, crazy stuff.
Yeah. Final thoughts. You want me to go first or you want to go first?
You can go. I don't even know if I have like substantial final thoughts. So you go ahead.
I was going to say that too because I feel like everything that I was saving for my final thoughts. I said it anyway about the whole Project Poltergeist thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's what I was going to say earlier. Okay. When you were asking why, like, what did they actually do in their investigation?
Yeah.
It wasn't even the police. It was the housing authority. They did the investigation. So I'm thinking, like, what did y'all find? I don't know. I think I read something that the housing authority basically felt like they were trying to get free rent and they were trying to get them out of there anyway.
They thought they were trying to scam them.
Yeah. And at this time, that particular housing authority, was it the New Jersey, Newark, wherever they were?
Yeah.
They were known for basically trying to get people out of there who they didn't want there. And but they didn't have a reason to like evict them.
I get what you're saying.
So I think that has something to do with it, but they didn't have to do all that.
Who said that they was qualified anyway, though? Like, who deemed that they would have been the ones
That's
qualified?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Y'all are not even police.
Or paranormal investigators. But yeah, police at the very least.
Yeah. But the fact that they had to have all these different paranormal investigators come in, that should have let them know something. Something was happening.
Right, because if it wasn't the first time, somebody would have been oh, yeah, there's nothing going on here. So
yeah. Did they interview Yetta?
Fucking Yetta. Where's Yetta? Through this whole ordeal.
Yetta was out of there. She saw that cologne bottle doing the Dougie, and she was out of there.
She was like,
So, yeah, that...
Looking through the blinds. She was like the neighbor on Halloween. She was like,
Oh, man. Yeah, so those are my final thoughts.
I agree. I'll disagree with you. Oh, yeah. And then I definitely don't think they should have taken him away. I don't think that Mabel, that she was a bad caregiver by any means. I think maybe she could have tried to move, I guess, but I understand finances and things like that.
Yeah, and then she probably, I mean, they were in the projects, and she probably, well, not probably, I'm pretty sure she couldn't work because of her age. So, yeah.
They should have had somebody.
So they didn't have a choice.
Cleanse the house. They should have had maybe like.
I mean, they had that fake exorcist.
He was. He probably made it worse. He probably made it worse. He brought some extra.
The poltergeist was like, oh, y'all think this is a joke?
I am y'all not the playing. One. I am not the one.
And
oh my God,
he was referred to them by the housing authority. I think That's- right. I think so.
Yeah, yes. One of the housing officials was like, you know what? I heard Edward Dale Russo.
Where did they interview him? Oh, wait, that was a setup. So, no.
It probably was a setup. So, because they probably were like, yeah, we'll give you, a sandwich and $20. $20 and a ham sandwich, a fried bologna sandwich. And. If you do this for us,
that is messed up.
It is messed up. Now she lost her grandson. But no, I don't. They could have put forth a little more effort or just done, more by way of her keeping him. But
yeah,
hopefully that movie will come out, like you said, and we'll maybe get to know.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
I mean, it's going to be exaggerated, but
I was just about
to
say
there. I mean, they're working with him, so.
Yeah. Hopefully he's played by Jonathan Majors. Hopefully. One can hope. Fingers crossed. I don't know why. I think, but. I mean, I know I want him to play him, but.
Yeah. Let's start a petition.
Jonathan Majors, just for everything. Like
everybody DM him on Instagram and be like, hey.
We need you to be. Oh, but he can't play. He's a grown man. He's a grown man. He has to be a kid.
He could play him like later in life. He could be like at the end of the movie when his wife saw the ghost sitting in the window.
Or he could be the ghost.
He could be the ghost.
The Project Poltergeist. PP for sure.
I wasn't about to say that because you can't technically a poltergeist isn't an actual ghost. I mean, it is, but it's not, if that makes sense.
But that's all, folks.
Please follow us on Instagram at It's a Strange World Podcast, Twitter at Pod Strange World, and on Facebook and TikTok at It's a Strange World After All. Also, if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and like the show, please go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're feeling extra strange, please write a review. please and thank you.
Yes, we would love to hear from you. What did you think of this week's episode? That's what I was going to say. I did have something to say for final thoughts. Do you think that the dad was responsible? Do you believe that for the poltergeist activity? So that the ghost could be his dad.
But technically, I feel like the dad was the source of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't think he was the actual poltergeist, because a poltergeist is more of energy.
Right. So therefore, he was the ghost. He was probably the ghost sitting in the window. So therefore,
in the window,
he was a boxer. So therefore, the person that plays him needs a boxer's frame. So therefore, boom. There you go. When we start our petition, or when y'all start the petition, there you go. It makes perfect sense. And if you need somebody to play Anne, I think I would make a great Anne. I'm just saying. Do I need to do it again?
Oh, the mom.
Yeah, what was the line? Oh, are you tired of me? Yo, Ernest.
Let's go.
Yo, Ernie. You tired of me? This is my audition tape for the movie Project Poltergeist. What do you think was the root of the poltergeist? Also, if there's anything else in the world of strange or true crime cases that you would like us to cover, let us know. If you have any personal stories involving true crime or the supernatural, we would love to have you on the show and share them with our listeners. If you have any movie or documentary suggestions of the horror, thriller, slasher, or true crime genre that you would like us to review, email your submissions to itsastrangeworldafterall@gmail.com or DM us at any other social media platforms. We can do that for a bonus episode. Even if you just want to say hey there, we will be here.
And thank you for tuning into another episode of It's a Strange World After All.
Thank you, as always, for keeping it strange with us.
Thank you.
Bye.